Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi friends, how are you? I hope this finds you in good health and circumstance. Continuing with our epilogue, the third of the Threefold Lotus teachings, where we left off. Now, for having the first time understood this, I contemplate and I am in recognition of it, turning to the world-honored ones. This is our process of awakening using the recitation, the teachings, the Daimoku. Of course, this is Shakyamuni's time, so the Daimoku is not known as such until Nichiren, our teacher, but we are talking about it. That's what this is, in fact, describing, this process of conversion or transmigration, leaving behind our samsaric constructs of the Saha world, to instead reinvestigate, re-experience in the moment to moment to moment to moment momentum that is our life, what is happening. We are verbs, not nouns. Samsara is largely a grammatical problem in that way, if I can use that as a parallelism, if I can make up a word. In thought, right? Buddhism is about the mind, attitude and intent. And we live largely with our very powerful sentient mind, catalogers of things, which is the first thing that Shakyamuni said about trying to get us to see through, past, around. That things, nouns, are just experiences happening moment to moment to moment. They're not permanent. They're not, for all our attempt at possessing, you see, if the idea of possessing something evaporates, that everything you use your skandhas to see, hear, touch, smell, so on, is given a moment-to-moment, then there's nothing to crave. There's nothing to cling except experience. Well, that's fine, because experience, when it's clarified, when it's purified, quote-unquote, sees all the cosmos as a momentary instantiation of potential. When you see that way, when you hear that way, when you taste that way, when you smell that way, when you think that way, well, it's just exciting to experience. There is no need or even desire. There's no mechanism of craving or clinging, because that's fantasy. That's vapor. Right? And so we're going through a process here of describing how we realize that, self-realizing, that our true nature, the true nature of everything, is in the momentum of instantiation of potentials. Isn't that fascinating? You get it for a moment and then you don't. The more you chant, the more you recite, the more this plausible awakening sticks with you. And the less you stress, the less anxiety you have, right? Because what you have anxiety and stress about is fog. It's not. So in realizing this, right, having finished reflecting thus, the practitioner will see the Buddha abundant treasures emitting a great ray of light, which is gold-colored and universally illuminates the eastern quarter as well as the worlds in all directions. In other words, you'll awaken your Buddha mind. You'll see, right? And we've been talking about purifying the eye consciousness. And now the ear, I think we're in the ear consciousness, right? Or we're about to be. And as we have this newly purified sense, we see in all directions where countless Buddhas appear with their bodies of pure gold color. That's everyone in the environment, in our environment, right? As I said earlier, we have to learn to experience all of those around us as potential Buddha, as Buddhas in the making, whatever stage those minds are in. So, in the sky of the eastern quarter, there comes a voice uttering thus. That aha, that renge, yes? Here is a Buddha, the world-honored one named Excellent Virtue, who also possesses innumerable emanated Buddhas sitting cross-legged on lion thrones under jeweled trees. All these world-honored ones who enter into the contemplation of the universal revelation of forms speak to the practitioner and praising him, saying, good, 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 son. You have now read and recited the Great Vehicle Sutras. That which you have recited is the mental stage of the Buddha. Annotation by guess who? Pause for a moment. Is this previous sentence not an explicit statement that the recitation of the Lotus Sutra is itself the mental state of enlightenment? Right? Read it again. Good, 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 son. You have now read and recited the Great Vehicle Sutras. That which you have recited is the mental stage of the Buddha. That each chapter, as Nichiren tells us, each character of the Daimoku is itself the invocation of all 69,384 characters. And that's supposed to be a comma. Why is it a period? Of the Lotus Sutra. And therefore, to chant the Daimoku is to invoke the Buddha mind. It's what we just read. After these words have been spoken, the Bodhisattva Universal Virtue will again further teach to the practitioner of the law of reflection, saying, in the innumerable kalpas of your former life moments, because of your attachment to odors, your discrimination and your perception are attached to every condition, and you fall into the cycle of birth and death. Your sensory consciousness of odor, smell. Do you now meditate on the cause of the great vehicle? The cause of the great vehicle is the reality of all existence. Having heard these words, the practitioner should again further be reflectful, made up word, but it works, prostrating himself down to the ground. When he has reflected and understood, he should exclaim thus, Namo Myoho-renge-kyo, Nama Shakyamuni Buddha, Nama Stupa of the Buddha of Abundant Treasures, Nama all the Buddhas emanated from Shakyamuni Buddha. Is this not another renge moment of appreciation from one's own Buddha eye? Having spoken thus, he should universally salute the Buddhas in all directions, exclaiming, Nama, the Buddha, excellent virtue, in the eastern quarter and the Buddhas who emanate from him. The practitioner should also make reverence to each of these Buddhas as wholeheartedly as if he saw them with his naked eyes and should pay homage to them with incense and flowers. Isn't Nichiren, what an amazing teacher, right? We do all this with our altar, with our stupa of the seven precious jewels, Namo Myoho-renge-kyo, right there. He's enabled this practice so easily for us to this method to practice, yes? After paying homage to the Buddhas, he should kneel with folded hands and extol them with various verses. After extolling them, he should speak of the 10 deluded and malicious karma repercussions and be thoughtfully reflectful of all his errors and delusions. In other words, that is my past. That was my samsaric mind, creating cravings and clingings that were complete delusion. That now I can see clearly with my Buddha eye, with my Buddha mind, my purified eyes, my purified ears, my purified nose. Are we done? During the innumerable kalpas of my former life moments, I yearned after odors, flavors, and contacts, and produced all manner of deluded and possessive fantasies, craving, clinging. Yeah? For this reason, for innumerable moments, I have continuously manifested states of deluded and malicious existence, including hells, hungry spirits, animals, and faraway places as of false views. And we all know what those are. Those are realms that we tend to get stuck in because of craving and clinging, right? Now, I contemplate such deluded and malicious karma repercussions and taking refuge in the Buddhas, the kings of the right Dharma law, I contemplate and thoughtfully reflect on my errors and delusions. Not to ponder them, to obsess about them, that's more craving and clinging, but to understand others who may be stuck in similar circumstance. Because my knowing of these things helps me become a more effective teacher. Right? I know how to address these things. Having reflected and understood thus, the practitioner must again read and recite the Great Vehicle Sutras without negligence of body and mind. By the power of the Great Vehicle from the sky, your inner consciousness, that inner voice, there comes a voice saying, "Heir of the law, do you now praise and explain the law of the Great Vehicle, turning to the Buddhas in all directions, and before them do you speak of your errors? The Buddhas, the Tathagata embodiments, are your merciful fathers. Do you yourself speak of the deluded and malicious and negative karma repercussions produced by your organ of the tongue?" Not just taste, but more to the point, words. Language. Language full of intent, yeah? The Buddhas, the Tathagatas, this organ of the tongue, moved by the thought of deluded and malicious karma repercussions, causes me to praise false speaking, manipulations, out-and-out lies, improper language, ill speaking, a double tongue, slandering, lying, and words of false views, and also causes me to utter useless words. Because of such many and various deluded and malicious karma repercussions, I provoke fights and dissension and speak of the law as if it were not the law. I now contemplate all such errors or delusions of mine. There's a biggie, right? Having spoken thus before the world's heroes, the practitioner must universally revere the Buddhas in all directions, prostrating himself down to the ground and folding his hands and kneeling to salute them, and he must speak thus, saying. So this is, people ask me, what should be in my mind as I approach the mandala? Well, before you start chanting, you might consider what it is you want to purify. But it's not something you think while you're chanting. While you're chanting, the only thing on your mind is Buddha, because that's the cleanser. The errors of this tongue are numberless and boundless. you can't even remember all of the things that you've said just to get your way or to manipulate others to do things that you wanted them to do. Good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter. How you've used your tongue outside of facilitating the Buddha path, yeah? All the thorns of deluded and malicious karma repercussions come from the organ of the tongue. This tongue causes the cutting off of the wheel of the right Dharma law, which is exactly what I was just saying. If you ain't promoting the Dharma law, then you ain't speaking right. It's really that simple and strict. And that doesn't mean the only thing that comes out of your mouth is Namo Myoho Renge-kyo, but your attitude and intent should be using your tongue to help others realize the correct path in life. If you're wrapped up in their dramas, then you're not, your intent is wrong. Your attitude is misplaced. Does it make sense? This tongue causes the cutting off of the wheel of the right Dharma law. Such a deluded and erroneous thoughts, tongue, cuts off the seeds of merits. Teaching of meaningless things is frequently forced upon others. Yeah, it's meaningful to get a better this or a better that in the Saha world, or to get promoted, or to get a lover, or whatever. But if that's your intent, where's Buddhahood in this? Nowhere. But if satiating your desires is important to you, you should consider moving yourself toward Buddhahood, at which point all those things that you think you desire will manifest to the greatest of their ability, their greatest potential. That's a big word, potential. Praising false views is like adding wood to a fire and further wounding living beings who already suffer in raging flames. It is like one who dies drinking poison without showing sores or pustules. Such reward of errors or delusions is deluded and malicious, false and negative, and causes me to fall into the deluded and malicious paths during 100 or 1,000 kalpas. Feels like forever, right? Guilt, that's suffering, that's anxiety. Stress. Lying causes me to fall into a great hell. I now take refuge in the Buddhas of the Southern Quarter and contemplate my errors or delusions. There's another repetition. Contemplate my I'm going to write speech there because that's what we're talking about. Contemplate my speech and errors or delusions. When the practitioner reflects thus, there will come a voice, again, from inside. In the Southern Quarter, there will be a Buddha named Sandalwood Virtue, who also possesses countless emanated Buddhas. All these Buddhas teach the great vehicle and extinguish errors or delusions and erroneous ideas. Turning to the innumerable Buddhas and the great, merciful, world-honored ones in all directions, you must contemplate such errors or delusions, false and erroneous ideas, and acknowledge your one's errors and resolve to redress attitude and intent in them with a sincere heart. How do we do that? How do you think? When these words have been spoken, the practitioner should again salute the Buddhas, prostrating himself down to the ground, in other words, with great humility. I'm going to write that in here too. Other words, with great humility. Because I don't want you to miss this point. Thereupon, the Buddhas will send forth rays of light which illuminate the practitioner's body and cause him to naturally to feel joy of the body and mind because of attitude and intent, and cause him naturally to feel joy and of body and mind, to raise great compassion and to reflect on all things extensively. At that time, the Buddhas will widely teach to the practitioner the law of great kindness, compassion, joy, and uninfluenced, and also teach him kind words to make him practice the six ways of harmony and reverence. Right? What are those six ways of harmony and reverence? Those are practiced by those who seek enlightenment. I think we're talking about the paramitas. Then the practitioner, having heard this royal teaching, will greatly rejoice in his heart and will again further recite and study it without laziness. From the sky, or the Tathagata consciousness, there again comes a priori voice speaking thus, "Do you know, do you now practice the reprieve of body and mind? The errors or delusions of the body are killing, stealing, and committing adultery, while the errors or delusions of the mind are entertaining thoughts of various deluded and malicious ideas, producing the 10 deluded and malicious karma repercussions and the 5 deadly errors or delusions is just like living as a monkey, like bird lime and glue, and the attachment to all sorts of conditions leads universally to the passions of the 6 sense organs of all living beings." Something here to the craving and clinging energy. Yeah. The karmic repercussions of these 6 organs, with their boughs, twigs, flowers, and leaves, entirely fill the triple world. Right? Again, the analogy of the tree, that each of these sensory organs, with each thought, has sprouts of roots and branches and leaves, endless. Yeah. The 25 abodes of living beings, and all places where creatures are born, such karma repercussions also increase ignorance, old age, death, and the 12 sufferings, and ineffably reach through the 8 senselessness and the 8 circumstances. These are the 8 places or circumstances in which one is unable to see the Buddha or to listen to the law. These are the conditions of hell, animals, hungry spirits, the cosmos of long life, remote places, the state of being blind or deaf, secular prejudice, and the period of absence of the Buddha. And it goes on. You can read that in the footnotes. Do you now reflect on such deluded and malicious and negative karma repercussions? Right? Yet another thing to consider if you need motivation to chant. Then the practitioner, having heard thus, asks the voice, one's own voice of Tathagata, right? Saying, "At what place may I practice the law of thoughtful reflection?" Thereupon the voice in the sky will speak thus, saying, "Shakyamuni Buddha is called Vairochana, who pervades all places, and his dwelling place is called, without beginning or end, tranquil light." Right? We've heard Nichiren talk about this land of tranquil light. Yes? He has Goshos written. You can look them up. There are videos on this channel and podcasts, obviously, with tranquil light in the title. So you can research that and listen and take notes to your heart's delight. Yes? The place is composed of permanency paramita, and stabilized by self-paramita, the place where the purity paramita extinguishes the aspect of existence. where bliss paramita does not abide in the aspect of one's body and mind, and where the aspects of all laws cannot be seen as either existing or non-existing. The place of tranquil emancipation or prajna paramita. Right? Some mistook or misunderstood these paramitas as, what shall I say? They are laws, but they are not the priority law. They are ancillary twigs, leaves, branches, yes? In the Prajna Paramita, which we have books to read on perfection of wisdom, indicates the way that we, with our minds, conjure reality. But that reality conjured is not real reality. It's a provisional reality we use samsarically, that is samsara, that conjured reality, to negotiate the saha world. And as amazing and wonderful as the saha world is, it is an illusion because it's built on itself, on our craving and clinging. Extricating ourselves from that craving and clinging, we can see what's really going on, and that is far more amazing. That's enlightenment, right? Because these forms are based on priority law, thus you must now meditate on the Buddhas in all directions, the purifications of that. Then the Buddhas in all directions will stretch out their right hands, laying them on the head of the practitioner, and will speak thus, "Good, good, good son, because you have now read and recited the Great Vehicle Sutras, the Buddhas in all directions, will teach the law of thoughtful reflection. The bodhisattva practice is not to cut off binding and driving, nor to abide in the ocean of driving. In meditating on one's mind, there is no mind one can seize, except the mind that comes from one's perverted thought, samsara." Now, this might sound a little confusing. The mind, as I keep reminding us, is a momentum. It's a momentum of awareness, moment to moment to moment to moment. Therefore, it cannot be seized because the moment you reach for it, it's on to the next moment, birthday, 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 right? The idea that there's a mind you can seize is craving and clinging, the mind of samsara. Do you see why it's so pervasive and difficult to transcend that mind? Because moment to moment, it is being, and we crave and cling to that last moment as though we still have it. Meanwhile, zing, momentum is going that way, and we're not looking. With Buddhahood, we shift to the momentum of life, being with our life, fully, therefore engaging with our potential. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense to me. The mind presenting such a form rises from one's false imagination, like the wind in the sky, which has no foothold. Such a form of the law neither appears nor disappears. It's happening. What is error or delusion? What is fortunateness? As one's own mind is empty of itself, error or delusion and fortunateness have no existence. They're momentary experiences, yeah? In like manner, all the laws are neither fixed nor going toward destruction. If one reflects like this, meditating on one's mind, there is no mind he can seize. The law also does not dwell in the law. The law, the mind, everything is momentum. All the laws are emancipation, the truth of extinction, and quiescence. Such an aspect is called the great thought of reflection, the greatly adorned reflection, the reprieve of the non-delusion aspect, and the destruction of discrimination. He who practices this reprieve has the purity of body and mind not fixed in the law, but free as flowing water, momentum, movement. Through each reflection, he will be able to see the Bodhisattva universal virtue and the Buddhas in all directions. Thereupon, all the world-honored ones, sending forth the ray of light of great compassion, teach the law of non-aspect to the practitioner. He hears the world-honored ones' teachings, the emptiness of the first principle. When he has heard it, his mind becomes imperturbable. In due time, he will enter into the real Bodhisattva standing. Now the Buddha addresses Ananda, who started this whole dialogue. To practice in this manner is called thoughtful reflection. This is the law of reprieve, which the Buddhas and great Bodhisattvas in all directions practice. The Buddha addressed Ananda. After the extinction of the Buddha, if all his disciples should thoughtfully reflect on their deluded and malicious and negative karma repercussions, they must only read and recite the Great Vehicle Sutras. These sutras of great extent are the eyes of the Buddha. The invocation of the Buddha eye. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you, Nichiren. By means of the sutras, the Buddhas have perfected the five kinds of eyes. The three kinds of Buddha's bodies grow out of the sutras of great extent. This is the seal of the great law with which the ocean of nirvana is sealed. Now you can look in Buddhism Reference, the book that I've written for you guys, on the three bodies of Buddha. Because it was just said, the three kinds of Buddha's bodies grow out of the sutras of great extent. When we invoke through our Gohonzon mind, open the Buddha eye, we experience, we manifest, and we live in the Saha world with the reward, the three bodies of Buddha, in that very moment. This is exactly what this says. By means of the sutras, the Buddhas have perfected the five kinds of eyes, right? From such an ocean are born the three kinds of pure bodies of the Buddha. Again, saying the same thing. These three kinds of the Buddha's body are the merit field for universal realms of influence in men, the supreme object of reverence. If there be any who recite and read the sutras of great extent, the great vehicle, know that such are endowed with the Buddha's merits and, having extinguished their long-standing deluded and malicious ideas, are born of the Buddha's wisdom. At that time, the world-honored one spoke thus in verse. If one has deluded and maliciousness in his eye-organ consciousness and his eyes are impure with the impediment of karma, repercussions, he must only recite the great vehicle and reflect on the first principle, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. This is called the reprieve of the eye, ending all negative karma repercussions. Right? His ear organ consciousness hears disordered sounds and disturbs the principle of harmony. This produces in him a demented mind, like that of a foolish monkey. He must only recite the great vehicle and meditate on the empty non-aspect of the law, ending in the long-standing, deluded and erroneous ideas. Now I have a note here. I hear you asking what the empty non-aspect of the law is. Dot, dot, dot. When we invoke Buddha, we chant Namo Myoho-Renge-kyo. We manifest the ninth consciousness of this Saha world existence, but consciousness is a term conjured in the mind to refer to a moment-to-moment experience and experience that only exists in those fleeting moments. That's what I was saying earlier. Arising and then gone the next. The cycle of birth, death, etc., the law, describes this moment-by-moment observation in the sentient mind as empty and both existing by virtue of witnessing, but also non-existing by virtue of impermanence. This mental state of awareness, the very conception of this acceptance of conditions and understanding of its ephemeral nature, is Buddha. So when we invoke this Buddha, we are experiencing the empty aspect of non-things, the very essence of the priori law. Moving on, so that with the universal ears, he may hear sounds from all directions. His organ of smell is attached to all odors, causing all contacts according to lusts. His nose, thus deluded, gives birth to all dust of illusions according to his lusts. Cravings and clinging, yes? If one recites the Great Vehicle Sutras and meditates on the fundamental truth of the law, he will become free from his long-standing deluded and malicious karma repercussions and will not again produce them in his future life. His organ of the tongue causes five kinds of negative karma repercussions of deluded and malicious speech. Typo that I just made. Sorry about that. Okay. Oops. Okay. Went off the page. Where was I? Which is fortunousness, Myoho-Renge-kyo, them in the lifetime. And it speaks. Should one wish to control them by himself, he must zealously practice compassion. And considering the true principle of quiescence of the law, he should not conceive discriminations. A trip to the Buddhism reference book and the definition of quiescence or engine of life would be greatly helpful at this point. That's me again. His organ of thought is like that of a monkey, never resting even for a little while, right? Samsara, busy, 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 busy. Voraciously categorizing and identifying data. Should one desire to subdue this organ, he must zealously recite the Great Vehicle Sutras, reflecting on the Buddha's greatly enlightened body, the completion of his power and his fearlessness. Breaking free of identification, right? What is this? This is Gangyo. Of course, Daimoku. And then with that open Buddha eye, do Gangyo to firmly establish our understanding of what Buddha is, the state of Buddha-ness, awakeness. The body is the master of its organs, as wind causes dust to roll, wandering in its six organs freely without obstacles. As discussed earlier, another note from yours truly, this body is the final attachment to reflect on impermanence in order to be completely emancipated in the mind of Buddha. He goes on, if one desires to destroy these deluded and erroneous ideas, to be removed from the long-standing illusions of dust, ever dwelling in the city of Nirvana, and to be at ease with mind tranquil, he should recite the Great Vehicle Sutras and reflect on the mother of bodhisattvas. Innumerable surpassing means of tactfulness will be obtained through one's reflection on reality. Such six laws are the purification of the six sense organs, The ocean of impediment of all karma repercussions is produced from one's false imaginations, contrivances, constructs of samsaric reality. You know? Should one wish to acknowledge one's errors and resolve to redress attitude and intent of it, let him sit upright and meditate on the true aspect of reality. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. All errors or delusions are just as frost and dew, so wisdom's sun can disperse them. Therefore, with entire devotion, let him be thoughtfully reflecting of his six sense organs. Having spoken these verses, the Buddha addressed Ananda again. And I think we'll leave that for the next video. What time? Yeah, that's long enough. Let's see. Will we be able to finish this in the next video? Yeah, it's quite possible. So one more video and we'll be complete. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your practice. If you have questions about this, please say so in the comments or email me. And I will do my best to make it clear. I might even have to add some more annotations if that's possible. I've got quite a few in this one. All right, listen, your practice means everything to me. That's why this resource exists, the website, the podcast, the bookstore, the mandala store, these videos. Without you, it wouldn't be possible. Without your support, I couldn't do this. From simply liking and subscribing, this doesn't cost you anything, all the way to patrons on Patreon and PayPal, or just buying ebooks or mandala, all of it is absolutely essential to keep this resource growing and alive. So, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much. Please take care of your health, and I'll see you in the next one. Okay? Bye for now.